So there'll be music from Grace Williams and Hilary Tan, performed by the fabulous BBC Singers.
Composer of the Week anniversary special in Cardiff, Monday afternoon from 12. Listen on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 4 o'clock and time for Music Planet with Catherine Tickell.
Today we're starting off in Togo with some voodoo soul. This might get you up and dancing.
Amina from feminist quintet Nana Benz du Togo, and you can find that on their album Ago, which is steeped in their voodoo heritage with a strong ecological theme running through it, and it's also crammed full of absolute dance floor bangers. Strong recommend there. Thanks for joining us here on Music Planet. I'm Catherine Tickell, and over the next hour we'll be hearing sounds from Japan, Bolivia, Ireland, Zimbabwe, Sudan and more. But first, here's a recording made inside Parchman Farm Maximum Security Prison in Mississippi. And it took Grammy-winning producer Ian Brennan 4 years to get the go-ahead to record one Sunday morning gospel service. And the subtext provided by being in that environment, because Parchman's got one of the highest prisoner mortality rates in the country, it just brings a different slant to the songs. Some are traditional, some newly written by the inmates. Several of the singers chose to remain anonymous, but here's N. Peterson with Step Into the Water.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, put your feet in the waters of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. There's victory for the Christians who walks the narrow way. There's been a prize appointed for the souls who do not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I should be, so I can rest with him forever and live eternally. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Put your feet in the waters of his love. Oh, step into the waters, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Yes, step into the waters, wade out a little bit deeper. Put your feet in the waters of his love. Oh, step into the waters, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Yes, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
Daddy, you're
Tario Pampariwa from the album Upopo Sanke, which means let's sing a song in the Ainu language. And Umiko Ando, the main voice there, was one of the best known artists of the Ainu people, an indigenous and long suppressed community in northern Japan. And she died back in 2004, a year after that album was recorded. But I just spotted it being re-released on Bandcamp, which is also where I found this next little gem from Irish concertina player Cormac Begley's new album, B. That's not the insect, it's just the letter B for Begley, baritone, blueprint and lots of other things, particularly bass, this being the first ever solo bass concertina album. And I love how Cormac utilises all the sounds of the concertina, the clacking of the buttons, the air moving through the bellows. I've never heard concertina playing like it. Have a listen to this jig. It's called To War. Thank you. Cypriot violinist Michalis Kaloumis and Belgian oud player Tristan Dreesens, who've been exploring their common interest in the modal music of the Eastern Mediterranean for several years. And they were joined there on their latest album, Music for Shepherds and Sultans, by Catalan frame drum player Miriam Encinas. And before that, you heard the inimitable concertina playing of West Kerry man Cormac Begley. We've got lots of great music still to come here on today's Music Planet on Radio 3. We've got Zimbabwe's Four Brothers as our classic artist this week, and there's a preview of a wonderful new Welsh-Irish collaboration. Also sounds from Sudan and Bolivia. But right now, here's the latest from the Analog Africa label, a compilation featuring Leon Keita, born in 1947 in Conakry on the Atlantic coast of Guinea. And he's a real fixture of the Malian music scene. He was one of the founders of the legendary Rail Band, as well as playing in Les Ambassadeurs International. Here's one of his 1970s classics.
Thank you.
Leon Keita with Nyanyasu Ma from the new compilation Analog Africa Dance Edition number 16. And from 1970s Mali, let's head east to modern day Sudan. And I did play a track from Sudanese keyboard player Yantra a few weeks ago and was really intrigued by him. So I'm delighted that Vic Sahoni from Ostinato Records will be joining us in just a minute to give us some of the background to the recording. But have a listen to the music first. From the album Synthesized Sudan, this is Yantra with Gedima. Sudanese keyboard player Yantra there with Gedima. And I'm joined now from Thailand by Vic Sahoni, the producer of the album and founder of the record label Ostinato Records. So, Vic, how did you find Yantra?
Well, it's a really interesting story because it was actually during the height of COVID, at the peak of lockdowns, when we couldn't go anywhere. So our entire artist and repertoire scouring had to be limited to what we could achieve from the internet. So what we essentially did is we taught the algorithms on YouTube and TikTok to basically send us things we might like. So we just kept liking and watching videos from countries that we frequented or music styles that we liked in the hope that maybe something would pop up. And fortunately enough, one day on YouTube, they recommended a video and I saw a keyboard player playing. I saw Arabic writing. I knew right away it was from Sudan. And I guess the algorithms knew we had done a lot of work in Sudan. And I opened it up and immediately I was captivated by the tonality, the quality of the music, how refreshingly new it was, but how endearingly familiar it was as well. And immediately I got on the phone with our Sudanese colleagues who have helped us in previous projects. And I said, who is this guy? And they said, we have no idea. And they went on a little search by themselves, contacting everyone they knew until we got his phone number. And then even after that, it took about a year and a half before we could travel to Sudan and record him. So we actually recorded him at the end of 2021.
Because he is more of a cult figure than a mainstream celebrity, really. If you were in Sudan and you wanted to go and hear him play, how would you find his gigs?
It's really interesting because if you look at his YouTube videos when we found them, they have sometimes 800,000 to a million views, which means people are clearly in Sudan know who he is. But when we're in the capital, Khartoum, no one knew who he was. And we learned very quickly, he's not a cult figure in the cities. He is someone from the countryside, from the rural areas, and therefore his entire following is from the same. So he has a following, you know, not amongst the urban classes, it's amongst a very different segments of society, the rural countryside, farmland, farmers, you know. I mean, it was very interesting to see. And even more fascinating to me that it was the rural countryside that is producing some of the most innovative electronic music.
And tell me about these parties, because they are legendary.
They are absolutely phenomenal. If there's anything I remember when I leave this earth, it's going to be the party that we experienced in a small village called Dargoug in Sudan, which is a few hours outside the capital, Khartoum. I remember driving there and, you know, the urban landscape gives way to grasslands and livestock. And eventually you approach a small village where a wedding is happening and the equivalent of what would be a bachelor party is essentially taking place. It's called a henna in Sudan. And there's a tent that's set up and, you know, we sat down in the tent and, you know, it was just around maybe sunset and people were still trickling into the tent. And he was playing very slowly. And then eventually, as you know, the sun set and night gave away and the tent became very crowded, then he went into full flow. And what's fascinating about him is it's not like he's playing track after track and people are applauding and saying encore. He is a live producer and a DJ all at once. So he is freestyling on the keyboard for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours straight. And people are going crazy. I mean, for anyone who's heard the song you just played, anyone who's heard the record, you know this, the sound is very addictive. It has a something that really gets you off your feet. So you can imagine a large crowd of people surrounding his keyboard, taking footage of, you know, his fingers as they play with very agile skill. And then, you know, we are in the countryside, and a very traditional part of Sudanese culture is to carry a sword. It's not a sword to do harm to anybody, but usually when there's a wedding, there will be a traditional dance where a sword is pulled out. And so you can imagine people are drawing swords into the air and waving them around as the beat drops. You know, there was even an instance where someone pulled out a small pistol when the beat was, the music was really in a frenzy, and just fired off a shot. And we were a little bit taken aback, but ever so and said, don't worry, it happens during his parties all the time, because he creates and generates such a frenzy. And I'll never forget the moment when everyone turned to him when he was really, you know, at the very peak of his powers during the party. And they began literally worshiping, as in, you know, putting their hands up and going down. He's such a loved figure, but yet so humble, so genuine, and just, he makes the music on the spot. It, you know, he's a real mercurial talent.
When you're putting the album together, how did you manage to distill the essence of Yantra into the separate tracks?
You know, it was a really difficult thing, because when we went to him, he said, I don't have tracks, I just freestyle. So I said, all right, so we have to listen to you play. And while he was playing, we would hear melodies that we liked, and we would say, okay, let's isolate that. Can you remember that? Let's try to turn that into a track. So my colleague and the co-producer of this record, Yanto Kwate, developed a very, very unique and interesting method where he said, we have to treat this like we're recording a band, because there's so many different instruments in his work. But he said, we cannot isolate those instruments in the way you traditionally record from a keyboard. So he developed and brought certain equipment with him where we could extract not the sounds from the keyboard, but the data, and then recreate it on our laptop so we would have a way to produce and mix this album. So it was really about sitting down with him and, you know, curating his melodies and saying, let's turn this into a full album, and then deciding, how do we name them? And so he just named all the songs after his grandparents, his daughters, his wife, because he's such a family man, so dedicated to his family. He, in fact, plays his music just to provide his family a living. He said, I have no other motivation than that, really. You know, that's really how we came up with it. A very endearing album.
We're going to play another track now. What would you like us to play, and what can you tell us about how it was made?
Sure, you can play the track Shabal, which is one of my favorite tracks that Yantra plays. It's a little bit slower. I think you really feel like you're, you know, in the pyramids of Meroe, the Nubian pyramids, a part of the country where Yantra would often go by himself to seek inspiration for melodies. So I think it's a very fitting track to play. We'll be right back.
Sudanese synth maestro Yantra with that track Shabal from the new album that's just come out on Ostinato Records. And we have Vic Sahoni from Ostinato Records speaking to us from Thailand. Vic, I'm so intrigued by the actual keyboard itself. I know it's blue, I know it's a Yamaha, but fresh from the factory, it would not have been capable, I suspect, of making some of the sounds that Yantra manages to extract from it.
Sure, it's actually a really fascinating thing that we did not know about either. Most of the keyboards in Sudan, they're imported usually from Dubai or Egypt, but they come quite rarely. And they're quite expensive as well. So someone like Yantra who's purchased this years ago, he has to continuously maintain them. So one of the most fascinating trips we took with him was to the Umdurman market, which is a market across the Nile River from Khartoum in the city of Umdurman. And this is a large market that sells everything. But there is a particular part of the market, which is really an entire workshop for synthesizers. And if people want to venture to our Instagram, they can actually see the footage we have taken of this workshop. You will see gutted synthesizers. You'll see a graveyard of synthesizers. And you're wondering, what are they doing? Sometimes they're just fixing, you know, really basic things. But what they're really doing that's really fascinating, and they told us this, they said, because most of these keyboards like Yamaha or any brand, they are built to cater to a certain aesthetic and sound and scale that perhaps exists in the Western world or perhaps, you know, exists in other parts of the world where they have big markets. But they don't give them, the factory settings don't have what would be, you know, attuned to Sudanese musical sensibilities. And so what happens is the mechanics have to go inside the keyboard, inside the synthesizer, gut it, rejig everything inside of it. Then they have to use a computer that changes the sounds inside of it. Now, this makes it then customized enough where someone like Yantra can go inside it and create his own tones, his own sounds, his own rhythms, his own percussion. And he can really turn a keyboard that was never meant to play any of this into something that is uniquely his and uniquely Sudanese. And I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And they even asked us, if you release this album, can you please tell Yamaha or whoever to please make keyboards that sound, that work for us so that we don't have to do all of this work? I said, sure, we'll try our best.
Well, I hope Yamaha are listening. I love that fact that what we tend to think of as a very electronic instrument can be tweaked and made to be so personal. I love that. You were talking earlier about the legendary parties, Yantra's parties. Does he have any plans to come over to the UK and set up a bit of a party scene here?
You know, the most unfortunate thing about this record was that a week after it released, the conflict broke out in Sudan. You know, all of the embassies shut down, basically government services shut down. Our plan was to at least get him a passport so he could perhaps play in a next door country nearby or in Dubai or somewhere, you know, that's in the region. However, you know, government services are shut down. The country is still going through a very, very difficult time. I would ask everyone to please pay attention to what's happening there because it's actually an unfolding tragedy. For a country that we visited quite often, we know is brimming with all sorts of talent, not musical talent. It's quite a tragedy to watch what's happening there. But we're hoping that, you know, it ends sooner rather than later so that him and many people like him in Sudan can get on the road again because he has gotten so many offers to tour. And he's ready, willing, and able. It's just a question of, you know, the political situation calming down.
Well, we wish him all the very best. And thanks so much, Vic, for coming in to talk us through the process of recording Yantra's album. And also, just before you go, just what else is in the pipeline for Ostinato Records?
Well, just towards the end of the year, by November, we will be releasing a gospel album from South Africa, which we traveled to just at the very beginning of this year to record. Now, gospel music is a very fascinating phenomenon in South Africa because it is among the largest, if not the largest, sectors of music, and it has the largest following. The gospel tradition really began and served a very interesting purpose during apartheid because it was where people were able to gather in churches and use gospel as a way to pass messages, covert communiques, to bypass the kind of censorship and watchful eye of the apartheid government. Whereas today, we're about 30 years detached from apartheid, so gospel, while still strong, has taken on a very new role. Younger singers now are not passing on covert communiques. They don't have to, you know, censor themselves or hide from anything. They are openly speaking out at what they see are, you know, a large degree of unfulfilled promises. A South Africa that, you know, had so much promise after apartheid but has really lagged in their eyes and still maintains a very high youth unemployment rate. This group that we have recorded, which is called Deep Kloof United Voice, which is from the Deep Kloof neighborhood of Soweto, a group of 20-something young men who have come together and created a very phenomenal, very unique gospel group who said, you know, a new South Africa needs a new gospel sound.
And you have brought us a track, I hope, to play?
I have. Yes, I have brought your track. The track is called Baninzi.
Fantastic. We get a little premiere here.
Yeah.
Diep Kloof United voice singing there. And thanks to Ostinato Records founder Vic Sahoni for joining us and giving us that preview of their new album Harmonising Soweto. That's coming out in November. Let's hear something now from Luzmila Carpio, Bolivian singer, songwriter, composer, record producer, and actress of Quechuan origin who, for over half a century, has been spreading ancestral Andean knowledge and music all over the world. She's released over 25 albums, singing in her native Aymara Quechua language and also in Spanish. But this is her first release for 10 years, Intihuatana, El Retorno del Sol, and from it here's Chacana Sagrada. Bolivia's Luzmila Carpio, really interesting soundscapes behind that voice, quite magical. And we're coming to the end of today's Music Planet here on BBC Radio 3. Just a couple of tracks left, another preview, and of course our classic artist slot, charismatically filled this week by Zimbabwe's Four Brothers, who started back in 1977 when Zimbabwe was Rhodesia and bands in the country at that time weren't allowed to play traditional African music. So the Four Brothers, who aren't brothers by the way, started off doing rock and roll covers. And even when their repertoire was freed from those constraints, that rock and roll influence was still very apparent. although the main root of their sound became much more clearly aligned with the traditional influences, the guitar in particular mimicking the sound of the imbira, the thumb piano. In the 1980s, I remember the band getting lots of international recognition. They signed to British record label Cooking Vinyl. They toured the UK and Canada and did several sessions for John Peel, who often described them as the best live band in the world. And he actually chose one of their songs when he did Desert Island Discs. Most of the Four Brothers' songs were written by Marshall Munhamunwe, the band's lead singer and drummer. I'm going to play you Makora Koto, the band's first big hit. It celebrates Zimbabwean independence. Makora Koto means congratulations in the Shona language. Oh, that takes me back. This week's classic artist, Four Brothers, with Makora Koto, and you can find that on the album Early Hits. Next up here on BBC Radio 3, J to Z pays tribute to multi-instrumentalist Sam Rivers. And later this evening, in the new music show, Kate Mollison is presenting a special concert that was recorded last weekend in Theatre Muldaan in Wales, and that features experimental harpist Roger Davis, amongst others. And from one Welsh harpist to another, we're finishing the show today with this new collaboration between Catherine Finch and Irish fiddle player Aoife Ní Briain. She's the daughter of Irish traditional music legend Mick O'Brien. And Aoife and Catherine met about 18 months ago, and their debut album, W, comes out on October the 27th, accompanied by a 12-day UK tour. And you can catch them at the North Wales International Music Festival next Friday on the 29th of September. Let's hear Catherine Finch and Aoife Ní Briain with Whispers.
Thank you.
Whispers by Catherine Finch and Aoife Ní Briain, ending today's Music Planet, which was produced by Martin Webb and presented by Catherine Tickell. Now on BBC Radio 3, it's time for J to Z.
Welcome, I'm Julian Joseph, and on the show today we're marking the centenary of jazz great Sam Rivers. Born in 1923, Sam Rivers blurred, mixed, and pushed the boundaries of jazz with a beautiful blend of the avant-garde and the traditional that stretched the listener's imagination. Well, let's start with something from the mid-1960s with a blistering all-star cast. Listen out for Rivers' soprano solo on this track, Point of Many Returns.